When Apple invented the personal computer, we were all alone in the world. But soon it seemed that everybody was trying to build a better Apple. Well, somebody finally did. Lisa from Apple. So advanced it puts us right back where we started. Alone again. Soon there'll be just two kinds of people. Those who use computers and those who use apples.
Best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, legend tells his unfailing professionalism and polish inspired Steve Jobs to adopt the pro moniker on Apple's most elite machines. Leander Caney is here.
Good day. Good evening.
You thought I was going for Lewis on that, didn't you? No, but I got a real good one for Lewis. If he were a piece of tech, he'd be an Apple Watch because his diminutive stature belies his formidable power. Lewis Wallace is here.
What a compliment. Am I a Series 4, Series 5, Series 0? Sometimes I feel like a Series 0.
I was thinking like the 0. You know, the one that times out all the time. You're talking to it, and then you're waiting for it to do something, and it just goes... And then it replies.
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, this is our Apple iPhone 11 event reaction episode. And I'm happy that we waited a couple days to do this because hot off the event, I know everyone is tripping over each other, the rat race to get all their content out. And I totally get that. But this gives us a little bit more time to get some more information on all the different devices that Apple released and to form our opinions, right? Because when you're coming off the event real hot, and I was hot coming off the event, you just don't really have all the opinions gelatinized. You don't have all the information you need to really talk about this stuff. So we're going to run through every single thing announced and talk about it ad nauseum. You're not even going to make it through the entire show. You're going to be sick and tired of us, you know, an hour and a half in. You're probably going to quit. We'll still just be talking about the first item by that point. But we're going to go through every single device, talk about what we like, and all the interesting tidbits sprinkled all throughout the entire keynote. Before we do that, let me give a very hearty thank you to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. We're always interested in learning about new innovations in the tech space, as are you, I'm sure. How technology is creating better ways to do things, which is why we like to talk about LinkedIn. There are over 600 million members who visit LinkedIn to connect, learn, and grow as professionals and discover new job opportunities every single day. I was just checking this thing out. It's crazy. I mean, you think about the days of submitting applications or filling out your resume and, you know, handing it to somebody. Those days are long gone. They're like a lore. It's like the that show C, where they just having eyesight was just like a vision of the past. There is a whole new way of doing things now. LinkedIn is so cutting edge. You go there, they have this vast community of people. I mean, massive, 600 million members. They have all these incredible tools that you can use to create your job posts. They actually have templates that you can use to create your job post. You can hyper-target your posts. And because they know about the people that you're trying to reach out to, you're reaching only the highest quality candidates. Guys like me. Guys like Lewis. Guys like Leander. There's not going to be any Alex E. Heaths sprinkled in there. You're only getting the cream of the crop, which is what you want. LinkedIn makes sure that your job gets in front of the right people with the right hard and soft skills that you're looking for. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn does the legwork to match you to the most qualified candidates so you can focus on hiring the right person who will have the big impact you're looking for in your business. A hire is made every 8 seconds on LinkedIn. That's why companies who use LinkedIn to hire rate LinkedIn jobs number one on delivering quality hires. Visit LinkedIn.com/cultcast. LinkedIn.com/cultcast to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn.com/cultcast. I put too much panache on that, too much stink on it. I couldn't even get through it all. There was just way too much to play.
Real tongue twister. I mean, that's like, you know, Peter Piper, right up there. It's like,
I know. Have you seen the beginning of the King's Speech where he does all those like exercises before he does the speech? That's what I gotta do to get my tongue warmed up
to loosen
for this
it
show.
Up.
You gotta warm up the tongue. You can't just come into a cult cast without a warmed up tongue and expect that you're going to say anything coherent. You can barely say anything coherent with a warmed up tongue. You're definitely not doing it with
tongue ups, right?
Oh yeah. I want a one tongue push up. I lay flat on the ground and then I lift up my body with nothing but my tongue.
Well, damn.
It hurts, but let me tell you, you kiss me, you'll never kiss another man in your entire life. I'll give you the good stuff. Okay, well, let's see here. Where should we start? Well, why don't we just look at the notes? And okay, I know I've been the biggest critic of Apple TV Plus, but this week Tim Cook came out with his stroke of genius. They positioned Apple TV to become the number one streaming service worldwide. I know some of you are scoffing, you're spitting out your tea right now. I really mean this. I was kind of flabbergasted when I saw this.
What, you've completely switched?
Yeah. Well, hold on now. I'm gonna qualify my enthusiasm here in just a minute. But after seeing this move and this stroke of genius, I think it's fair to call Tim Cook the stroke master. $4.99 a month for the entire family. We thought they were coming in at $9.99. Those were the rumors. $4.99, as we've talked about before, that's that sweet spot price where I think people are going to be willing to pay for it, even with their small launch library, which is small,
yeah,
for sure, and not impressive in any way. But they're working on over 100 movies and shows in production, you know, so they got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of stuff in the pipe. But here's the genius. Apple is leveraging their domination of the hardware market to create the world's number one streaming service. Here's what I mean. They are going to have this service available in 100 countries, right? So it's going to be available everywhere. They're giving you a year free if you buy virtually any Apple hardware, excluding the Apple Watch. That's the only thing I think that doesn't qualify. And so you won't care if the library is small because you're getting it for free. So who cares, right? You're just going to go in there and you're just going to watch all the great content that Apple's making. That gives Apple an entire year to work on their library and really bolster their content. And it gives them an absolutely massive user base to draw from. How massive? Well, look at it this way. In Q2 of 2019, Netflix had 130 million subscribers. In 2018, Apple sold an estimated 220 million iPhones. They're giving every person who bought one of those iPhones a free Apple TV Plus account. So that immediately makes them almost twice the size of Netflix. Now, those people aren't going to be paying customers, but
therein lies the rub, right?
Well, but even if those people never pay, Apple still has the most popular streaming service on earth. You know, just because they're not charging it, really doesn't mean anything, right? So now they have this massive user base. Every creator on earth is going to be tripping over themselves to work with Apple to create content for that absolutely massive audience. Yeah.
Maybe true, right?
Your thoughts, Leander?
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about that part. You know, I was thinking about the revenue and stuff, but that really is a good point. Like you said, you know, it instantly becomes one of the world's biggest streaming services. Just by the fact that everyone who buys a piece of hardware gets access to it. But here's an interesting question. What do you think they're going to continue this next year? You know, what if you upgrade your phone next year? Will you get another year's worth of free Apple TV Plus? And will it be, you know, in perpetuity?
I have a feeling that they may do that, but time will tell. Because a year is a really long time, isn't it? Like, why a year? Why not a month? Why not 3 months? It's 12 months of content. So right. It seems like maybe they're going to tie it to the iPhone upgrade cycle. Maybe everyone upgrades every year. You just get Apple TV Plus for free. It'd be a smart move if you ask me.
Yeah, it's a really interesting idea, isn't it? If they did do that, because then it becomes just like sort of an extra perk you get with a hardware purchase.
And that's kind of classic Apple, isn't it? That's what they used to do before they turned into a services company, is you buy the hardware and then they just give you all the services for free.
Like
software,
yeah, like software, like all the software.
I guess
services is different than software. I consider them to be the same thing.
Because I was thinking about Mobile Me and stuff like that, which you know, no one wanted.
Right,
just forced it on you. Is this? Yeah, and right. This is not a fair comparison, is it? Because this isn't going to be like U2, is it? Where they choke some, you know, force some U2 down your throat.
Yeah,
Apple TV Plus. But that was like, I guess, their first foray into that kind of thing.
You know what's funny though is that that YouTube trick actually kind of worked on me because it's the only music I actually have downloaded on my phone. And so sometimes when I start my car, it just immediately starts playing that really? Music since it's all that's there. And that album kind of grew on me. And I started listening to it yet more because it was just all God. That was ever there.
The really? Gift that's that keeps on giving.
But, you know, I'm a huge YouTube fan. I wanted to be the fifth member, but they turned down my... They turned down my LinkedIn application, but I never replied. So, you know, I was gutted about that. So they're going to have the largest streaming library on Earth. Well, let me rephrase that. They're going to have the biggest user base on Earth to draw from. They have a whole year to make content, and in a year's time, they're going to have a ton of content available. And at that point, $4.99 a month. I mean, you got that sweet price, even if they don't give it to you for a year free. $4.99 a month. You're going to be hooked on the shows. You'll be on season 2 of C by then. So there's going to be something in there to grab you. It's a really smart move. And it's not one that I was expecting from Apple. I thought they were going to come in high with a lot of lame content. And, you know, everyone was just going to, it was going to be like pain. Right, you know, completely yeah, ignored.
This definitely sort of kickstarts it, doesn't it?
They were rumored to do this a long time ago, right? This was one of the things. Oh, yeah, Apple might just give it all away. And honestly, I think they have to give it all away at first because there isn't that much to give away. And nobody's going to pay $5 a month for 6 shows.
Nothing.
Are they? Mm. Never.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Especially when they look like C.
I think C looks pretty good, if you ask me. And actually, out of all the content that I have seen from them, that one looks like the most interesting.
Wow, I was just groaning in pain watching that trailer as they showed it. And I haven't gone back and rewatched it because I just, I'm, you know, it's like getting shocked. You don't want to keep doing it, but it just seemed, I mean, it looked good. It looks like they spent a lot of money. There's a lot of money in there, right? But I don't know, man. Some of that dialogue was just horrible. Horrible.
It did kind of remind me of the premise of the movie Willow. Did you ever see Willow?
Waterworld,
yeah,
and, you know, all these horrible, you know, sci-fi fantasy shows you can think of. Luke, who wrote up the trailer for our site, he thought it looked either brilliant or brilliantly horrible. I can't remember what he said exactly, but it'll be interesting to see. None of these trailers that I've seen so far have really knocked me out, but maybe they'll be great.
Yeah, same here, but I'm not going to make any judgments until I actually get to watch the content. And now that I get to watch it for free, I'm like, well, sure, you know, why not? I'll go in there and check it out, which is probably what Apple is betting on.
Yeah, that's definitely the right move. I mean, that was one of the most, you know, cool, kind of surprising things from the thing. Well, actually, pricing across the board was pretty interesting.
They've dropped prices all over the place, you know, which is something they haven't really been getting credit for. You know, the phones are down.
Yeah, that was surprising, particularly with the iPhone 11. So let's talk about the big one now, the iPhone 11 Pro. I thought this looked like a great phone. It's been getting some heat, which I guess is to be expected because every new phone announcement does get heat. And Leander, you were bringing up before about how everything is a controversy now. Did you have any points that you wanted to make before we talk about the phone itself?
About what?
About how anytime they release a phone, it's always an immediate controversy. Everyone always talks about how there's a lack of innovation. Of course, they did kind of set themselves up for the commentary about innovation because they literally put "for innovation only" invite, and then they come out with a bunch of evolutionary products. There was literally, look, in its most pure form, innovation means something big, something new, something bold. And this was more evolutionary, and that's fine. I think that's fine. I'm excited about some of the products that were announced, but it wasn't that amazingly innovative, was it?
I don't know. I think that's a fair definition of innovation. I think innovation is, you know, like where something is innovative and new. It doesn't necessarily have
to be Webster.
I'm sorry, I couldn't think of the right word. It's so hot here. I'm a complete brain freeze. You can't expect them to come up with the iPhone, you know, like that's the kind of thing, like an iPhone every year, you know, an iPhone size hit this is what people, and every year there's these same complaints, you know, from the same people. Oh my God, you know, I'm so bored. Apple's just, you know, update the phones. There doesn't seem to be anything really, you know, amazingly new here. But I think taken together, you know, like if you look at the cameras and the image pipeline that they've had, the chips are amazing, you know, like they're so far ahead of everybody else. And there's a ton of innovation that goes into making like a new, you know, mobile chip or the whole system on the chip. They're so far ahead in GPUs and wireless chips and the CPU itself and the neural engine. I mean, there's a ton of innovation that goes into that. And I don't think they're getting the credit for it. Like, I was looking at all these people complaining on Twitter and all the different reviewers. You know, the New York Times, Charlie Wazell, was complaining that it's, like, about time to stop these things. And, you know, I think there's something to be said for, like, critiquing maybe the format of the keynote, and that it is like this sort of like giant celebration of, you know, consumerism gone crazy. And but I don't think it's fair to say that there's been no innovation. I think that's totally unfair.
I'm not saying there's no innovation. I just think it's a loaded term. I mean, remember when Phil Schiller came on stage and he goes, innovate, can't innovate anymore, my ass. And then they drop a brand new product that no one's ever seen before, right? Mm-hmm. So when you hear innovation, at least for me, that's what I think of is a brand new product. Something exactly. Whereas they innovated within the product line, and I think that's great. And there are a lot of features that are packed in here. And to your point, they have so many features packed in that the keynote actually has a hard time really giving any one feature as much time as it would probably need for them to fully expand upon how it was innovative. They just have to keep going from one thing to the next to keep the pace fast. And I like that personally, but you got to dig in afterwards to really find and expand the little points, the PowerPoints that they made to figure out why each of these features are so cool, which is, you know, what we did here today. We'll talk about some of these. So I think the iPhone 11 Pro looks incredible. I'm really excited to get my hands on one. I'm definitely going with the iPhone 11 Pro, the smaller one. I'm going 64 gigs because the storage upgrade options is still a huge, giant ripoff. They had a point in the keynote. They had a little section of the slide that said desktop class storage. And I was like, oh, okay. Now my interest is fully peaked. And my eyebrow went straight to the sky. And I thought, maybe they're going to do something about the storage. No, they didn't. It's still the exact same storage. 64 gigs for $1,000, which is a total joke. And what is it? 1150 for 256, and then 1300 for the 512, and then raise those prices by 100 if you want to go with the iPhone 11 Pro Max. It's way too expensive.
Yeah, it's pricey at the top end, isn't it? At least it's not 16 gigs anymore. iPhone, come on.
That's true. That is true. That was an absolute. That was like a slap in the face, and then right as you're recovering, they hit you from the other side. You know, like with one of those white gloves. This time you're just getting slapped once. Okay, let me run through the features and we're going to expand upon some of these that are really cool. So iPhone 11 Pro Retina XDR display is literally twice as bright as the iPhone XS. This was something that they didn't talk enough about, in my opinion. This is a super bright OLED screen. Now, I got in a little trouble on my recent YouTube video when I was talking about this because people pointed out, because everyone's a perfectionist,
well, and you said it was 1,200 nits bright, but that's the max brightness. Its average nit brightness is only 800.
Okay. Its operating nit brightness is 800 nits, right? But the previous generation iPhone XS could only get up to about 620 nits. So that's already doing pretty good. It's like 20-something percent brighter. But 1,200 nits, it can crank up to that amount in HDR videos and I think in outdoor situations. And just to kind of illustrate how bright this is, I have an outdoor studio monitor that I use. It's built for being used outdoors. It gets up to 1,500 nits brightness. That's like its marquee feature. And now the iPhone 11 Pro gets up to 1,200 nits. So you should be able to really see how bright the screen is outside. You should be able to see your screen. Plus, it's going to excel at HDR content because HDR content needs a high brightness level and then also a high variability so it can show you bright scenes and then low light scenes, which is what OLED excels at. So this is an incredible display. Face ID up to 30% faster. It's got the A13 Bionic, which is up to 20% faster. The super tough the super tough glass, the shatterproof glass on the front and the back. Vastly better battery life. 4 hours more battery life for the 11 Pro.
That was a real surprise.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Where does that come from? Who the heck boosts their phones, you know, by 4 or 5 hours?
I don't even know what the percentage is there, because I don't know what the battery life was for the XS Max. But yeah, 4 hours for the Pro.
Bigger battery and better, and that screen you were talking about is much more efficient.
Well, and the A13, I think, is way more efficient too. Yeah. And then 5 hours of extra battery life for the iPhone Pro. I can't get this right. The iPhone 11 Pro Max. I want to just call it the iPhone Pro, which I think is what everyone's just going to call it from now on. So vastly better battery life. You get the hugely enhanced Face ID camera, which does 4K in 30 and 60 frames now. So you can take those beautiful slow-fies too, which are 120 frames per second. Which
slow-fie, you've actually started using it.
Oh, dude, I said it. You know why? Because I love it. I used to have to do those manually. I would just move real slow, right? But you can never get your hair quite right.
Can't get the hair right. Yeah.
Exactly. The hair always gives it away. So now I can do it in true fashion. It's got the three cameras on the back, which I know everyone already knows about these three cameras, but just the ultra-wide lens alone, Think how often you're in a situation where you really want to zoom out and you don't want to like walk backwards or you can't walk backwards. Well, now you have the ultra wide angle lens. And also Apple added the portrait mode to the medium range camera lens, which was only previously available on the telephoto lens. So now you can take wider angle portrait photos, which you could do on the iPhone XR, but you couldn't do it on the XS, XS Max, which is one of the things I actually liked about the XR over the XS Max. Night mode photos. Leander, I know you were deeply impressed with the night mode photos. Wasn't that cool, those demos they did?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, yeah. And there's a couple of things have popped up on Twitter today, a couple of example shots, and they do look amazing. And I like them, I kind of like the Google ones, you know, what's their night mode thing called?
Oh, I couldn't be bothered to find out.
Anyway, but they look kind of weird, you know, they sort of look like HDR photos. They're sort of unnatural, and but I quite like the aesthetic of it. But these look more natural to me. They look like nighttime pictures. It's just that you can see what's going on, which is really kind of an achievement, I think.
I do, too. I just said it. I have a YouTube video on my channel today. By the way, check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AirPhoneElijah. I'll link to it in the show notes, because I put out two videos in the last 2 days covering some of these topics. No one does HDR on a phone better than Apple. In fact, I would say no one does HDR better than Apple, period. I've seen a lot of HDR over the years. It always looks fake. It always looks chintzy. Apple's looks artful, and they have this way of humanizing the photo to make it look real. They get HDR better than anyone else. And these new phones, they have Apple's next generation of computational HDR. So I was impressed with what we had. This is the next generation. So someone call Captain Jean-Luc Picard. He's going to be real excited to hear that we have the next generation of HDR here. And they have this other technology built in that Phil Schiller called deep fusion, night shot technology. He called it, quote, computational mad science. It snaps 8 images before you even press the shutter, one long exposure, and then it stitches all the other images together pixel by pixel to give you as much detail as possible with as little noise as possible. That picture that we saw on Twitter today, that was crazy. I'll link to that in the show notes. It was a woman who got her hands on the iPhone 11 Pro, and she took it. She gave you a example of an iPhone 10 and then the new iPhone 11 Pro, and it's night and day. It looks beautiful.
It does look like night and day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One's like, all dark, like it's night, and the other one looks like daytime.
Looks like it was lit professionally, and then the other one looks like it was just taken with some crappy flip phone camera, you know? And that's another practical feature. There's so many practical features that are packed in to this update. I think once you actually get your hands on it and use it, you're going to fall in love with it just for that reason. Let's see here. Quick take video recording. So this is where you can touch the camera button and then just slide it over if you want to start taking a video. Super useful. Dolby Atmos sound. They added portrait mode to the regular camera. I already mentioned that. Haptic touch instead of 3D touch. 3D touch is gone, dead, never to return. Let me touch on one other thing that I thought was really cool, and it alludes to a piece of Apple technology that's definitely coming down the road. They didn't talk about this piece of technology, but you can just see how it's going to work. The U1 chip is now included in the iPhone 11 and 11 Pro. I think it's both. It is a spatial awareness chip, a wideband spatial awareness chip. I didn't even know what that meant. I had to go look it up. You can use this feature for AirDrop. So how it's going to work is the U1 chip lets your iPhone know where it is in general space and what direction it's pointing. Okay, this is my current understanding. So the way it's going to work with AirDrop technology right now is you can point your phone at another user and their phone, and their name will pop up on AirDrop, and then you can send those very sultry shirtless pics that you've been keeping on your iPhone directly to them. So you can share files back and forth, right? But here's how it's going to be useful in future tech. Just imagine you have the Apple Tag, right? The one that they didn't announce at the keynotes, but I'm sure they're going to release. You have that attached to your AirPods. You don't know where your AirPods is. How often has this happened? You boot up the Apple Tag app or what have you, and because of the U1 chip, ba-da-ding, your little sonar is going off, and it's going to tell you what direction your AirPods are and then how far away you are from your AirPods. So it will be able to walk you directly to where that lost item is, and you'll know it's going to be within, I don't know, a 1 foot, 2 foot area of where you're standing. That's going to be the power of the U1 chip with spatial awareness. I'm sure there's other useful uses for it as well.
They said that in some document, didn't they? Someone said that there's going to be a whole bunch of different applications for this. It sounds really cool, doesn't it? Like amazing. Like it'll show you the direction.
I think so, because a lot of trackers, they just tell you your item is near you or not.
Kind of useless, really, because then
right.
At best you have a sound and then you have to like... Everyone has to be super quiet, and you creep around the room.
Find it. Yeah, exactly.
And it's under a cushion or something, and it's like, you know, it takes you forever to figure it out.
This is the next generation of that type of technology, so I'm really excited for it when they actually launch it. So that's iPhone 11 Pro. I'm guessing both you guys are going with the Pro. You are both pro-level gentlemen. Am I right?
Already got the pre-order set up, yeah.
You already got the pre-order?
Yeah, dude, you got to do it. It's 5 a.m., 5 a.m. Got to get up and press the button.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
What?
I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. No, I'm not going to do it. I figure why. I just need to have it. I just need to have it eventually. And one of our listeners has offered to connect me with their discount. So I'm like, okay, for a discount, I'll be willing to wait. But I don't know if I'll be able to get it right away, because he said that sometimes Apple employees don't get their discount on these products right away. You might have to wait a few days. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But
you think, Lewis, what do you think? Do you think they're going to sell out like crazy this year?
Oh, God. I don't know. I mean, yeah, probably. Why not? I mean, they always do. Even if they sort of juice it to make it seem like it's a sellout, I think that it'll appear that way.
If they juice it to make it seem like a sellout?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, oh, you can't get one, you know, but then they still actually have some, you know what I mean? Like I think there's a little bit of, they try to whip up a little bit of, you keep cutting out. It's hard to talk, but,
your connection's real bad.
Thank you, San Francisco, and your amazing internet.
Keep trying.
Yeah. So, I think they'll sell out, don't you? I mean, they're expensive, but who doesn't?
Well, last year, some models were still available the next morning, right? Remember that? Because when it was midnight, the Pacific midnight Pacific time, and the next morning, didn't you order one? Didn't you order a phone the next morning, or was it a watch?
I picked up a watch in the store when I went to pick up. I did not pre-order the watch because I didn't think I really needed it, and I picked one up on the launch day when I saw it, and I was like, oh, God, I got to have one, which is probably the exact same situation I'm going to be in this year because I did not pre-order I haven't pre-ordered a watch because I just, you know, well, I guess we'll talk about that later, but it just... it sounds great, but you know, just another $500. Oh, geez.
Yeah, well, $399 if you get the small one.
Well, yeah, what I was wondering though is like whether I can sleep until 7 o'clock tomorrow, 7 a.m., 2 hours after kickoff, and you know, still possibly snag one.
You're gonna want
So.
You're gonna want it in your hand as soon as possible. And I would not. I wouldn't risk it, man. What's another 2 hours of lost sleep? Just get up and do it.
I mean, Lewis is right, but I also don't think they're going to sell out. The iPhone 11 Pro, it doesn't feel like it has the same level of hype as the iPhone 6 did, for instance, where they had their first big screen phone. It seems like people are interested in it for sure, but I don't know. I just get the impression that people are kind of not as excited about this one as they have been about previous iPhones.
I kind of get that feeling too.
Yeah.
But like Lewis says, they sell out every year. You know, they sell out in minutes.
Well,
sometimes.
I think they do that on purpose. I think they artificially constrain their availability.
But that doesn't make any sense though, really, if you think about that.
Oh, it makes perfect sense, man. It makes people go rabid. when they think this has been Nintendo's strategy for 100 years. They barely make enough Nintendo products to meet demand, and so they keep people rabid for their products, and as soon as more product comes out, boom, people buy it up. So I think Apple does the same thing.
Yeah.
It's supply and demand. If people can't have something, they want it even more.
Right. That's kind of what I was getting at. I think that definitely you're going to start seeing, tomorrow morning and be like, oh, yeah, you can't get this, you can't get that. And then, by the way, Leander, what color do you want?
Well, that's a good question. Everyone's gone crazy for the green, the new hideous green, which I think is completely and utterly horrific. That's the one, all the Twitter polls, you know, it's like, well, what color are you going to buy? And it's like green, right.
Because it's new, That's the only reason.
And no one cares about gold anymore.
Yeah. I feel exactly the same way. That's not what I... Black? You mean gray? There is no
space
black.
Gray, yeah.
There's no... Oh, yeah, okay.
Right. You're right. I'm sorry. Silly me.
Come on. Yeah
space gray, space gray.
Yeah.
Okay, as much as I was... Sorry, go ahead, Lewis. We've got to move on to iPhone 11, though.
I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the green, because to me, it looks just... I don't want to use the word abomination, but it just reminds me of, like, just everything boring. I don't know. It looks like army fatigues. It's just...
It does look like that.
I just don't... I saw that, and I mean, some of the mock-ups going into this were like, a really deep, not quite Kelly green, but, you know, a bold green, and... What do we get? We get like, you know,
people are saying it's Boba Fett green. They love it.
Huh.
Well, that's a pretty generous description of it. And if I think of it in that term, like it'll match my Boba Fett cosplay costume. Okay, well, maybe.
But the purple's a new color too, but people aren't going bonkers about the purple.
Well,
I bet you people will buy that thing in droves.
I'm sure people will buy these, and I'm sure they'll be popular. I'm sure that the green one will be sold out before the rest. But it's just because the other three colors that the Pro comes in are so... we're kind of over it, right? I mean, space gray, silver, gold. Mm-hmm. You know, please. That's why when they sell a product red one, everybody, I got to get one. You know, it's a little bit boring. And frankly... Midnight green or forest, what's it called? Midnight green? Not that innovative.
Well, people were asking, an interesting question is, you know, why green? Why now? You know, why, of all the colors of the rainbow, why did they choose green? You know, is there something going on in the zeitgeist? Is it like, you know, because of all the cannabis that's getting legalized in the country?
It's
holy moly, man. I don't know. They just chose green. I don't think there has some philosophical, metaphysical reason.
They don't. They don't just choose. They don't. They do these really extensive tests. And I know for a fact that in the past, they've hired color consultants. And there's a whole industry about, you know, colors, like upcoming colors, what's going to be popular. The whole fashion industry invests in this, you know, this kind of cool hunting. They have all these consultants that do this forecasting about what colors are going to be hot in the fall, what colors are going to be hot in the spring, you know, that kind of stuff. And I know that Apple definitely looks at that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know if they did in this particular case, but, you know, they don't just pick it.
Sure they did. I mean...
they didn't.
I mean, sure they did look at it. I mean, you know, how many millions did they spend investigating these colors, right? And I'm sure it has to be a certain kind of color that they can, you know, produce in this glass that can be, you know, whatever, mass produced and not... deteriorate or whatever, but I don't know, man. All the colors on this one and on the other phone, they're just all kind of wishy-washy and washed out looking. I don't know. Nothing.
Well, they're not, yeah, they're not bright primary colors, are they? Which they've done in the past. Like, remember the 5C? That was all very bright primary colors. Wasn't it? These are much more muted. More, you know, more. Well, they're more. You know, they're subtle. They're pro.
You mean on the iPhone 11?
They're for grown-ups. It's for adults.
They look on like, the iPhone 11. You mean not the Pro?
They're for people who remember what Necco wafers look like. Because that's what they look like. Necco wafers.
Oh, that's not me. I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay, dear Lord, can we not talk about colors for another 15 minutes? Let's move on to the iPhone 11 because we still got to run through this. We got Apple Watch. We have everything missing from the keynote. And then we got to talk about an October hardware event. Oh, yes. There is undoubtedly going to be an October hardware event. And I'll tell you exactly what we're probably going to get. There's some real shockers sprinkled in there. Okay, iPhone 11, the big marquee feature, the price tag, only $699. I think you'd be nuts not to buy this phone. I absolutely love my iPhone XR, and the iPhone 11 is like 85% of the phone, maybe even 90% of the iPhone 11 Pro. I mean, basically, you just get a different screen.
Right, yeah.
You maybe get a little bit less RAM, and the water... IP rating is different. Other than that, it has the same cameras. Well, aside from the telephoto.
Well, you've got two cameras instead of three.
Yeah, but you don't really need the telephoto lens. I mean, it's nice, but for $300, I think you could go without it. It has the, let me just run through the list. The same A13 Bionic. It's got the dual 12 megapixel cameras, the ultra wide lens, and the medium range lens as well. It's got the same 12-megapixel FaceTime camera as the Pro does. It has an IP68 water resistance, so you can submerge it in up to 2 meters of water for 30 minutes versus the Pro's, 4 meters of water for 30 minutes. This is the best part.
It 2 comes meters in, difference?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
You can take the Pro into the deep end of the pool.
where the big kids are. Yeah.
Think about it this way: if you're drowning, you can get out your Pro and call 911 and be like, and then come get you.
Worth the extra $400 right there.
It could just save your life. And then they have an actual sensible storage structure here: 64 gigabytes for $699. Oh, you want 128 gigs? Only $750, and I think it's $800 for $256. Which is crazy. It has
so $50 for double. I think for so. Each tier of storage.
Yeah. It's actually reasonable.
Right.
Gigabit class LTE. It has 6 portrait effects. Same as the Pro. The portrait mode now works with pets and objects. Same with the Pro. It has the next generation Pro level smart HDR, just like the Pro level, exactly. Night mode photos, exactly. It has slow feeds as well. The same quick take video recording feature, Dolby Atmos sound, the same U1 chip. And you get all the fun colors. So I think this is... Oh, and the same unbreakable, quote-unquote, shatterproof glass on the front and the back. So I think the iPhone 11 is the way to go. I have thoroughly enjoyed my iPhone XR. The only reason I'm switching to the iPhone 11 Pro is because I just want to change it up. You know, I want to try the more premium phone this year. The one question everyone always asks me about my XR, and I know some of you are thinking about getting the iPhone 11, which is the XR replacement, how do you like the screen? I will tell you, it's not as good. I mean, you knew that. But you will notice that it is not as good as OLED. It's not as vibrant. It's not as accurate. I mentioned when I first got this phone, it feels like it kind of has a little bit of seasickness. Like I feel like it's like tinted green in some way. And that's never gone away. And the phone's fine. I usually on a daily basis, I don't even notice the screen at all until I look at a iPhone XS. Or I recall life with my beautiful iPhone 10, and sometimes when I look at my Apple Watch, you can tell the screen's not as nice because the Apple Watch has an OLED screen too. So you are going to have a sacrifice, but if you don't care about the screen, it's not a huge difference, you know? Maybe it's 80% as good.
Well, you don't really see it when, like you said, when you compare it to another screen, right? I mean, you don't really sort of see it, notice it.
Yeah,
when you're just,
in everyday life, you probably won't think about it. So. If you don't care about having the absolute best screen possible, save yourself the money. Get the iPhone 11. It's virtually the same in every way. You're going to be real happy, and you're going to be walking around with a fat stack in your pocket, 300 bones. That's going to make you pretty happy too, I think. So there are my thoughts on the iPhone 11. Lewis, Leander, any thoughts before we move on to Apple Watch Series 5?
Yeah, I think, like you said at the top of the section, was, you know, the big marquee feature was the $699 price. It's $50 cheaper than the XR. And, you know, like, when was the last time Apple dropped the price of, you know, one of its main major, you know, one of the major models? I mean, they dropped the price, I think, of some of the lesser models. But I think they were hearing the criticism last year that the phones are getting too expensive, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, with iPhone sales have been slowing. You know, it's not in the same huge growth curve anymore. The market's saturated. I think people are being a little more, they're holding their phones longer. And of course, you know, price, I think, is one of the major factors in the upgrade decision. And so, you know, I guess, does $15 make that much of a difference? I guess it does. It was interesting to see that, you know, they're keeping around the iPhone, some of the previous models, you know, and they've dropped the prices on those as well. And some of those actually have dropped really, really, quite precipitously, right? That isn't the iPhone 8 still in the lineup, and it's $150 less?
I think so, yeah.
So I remember seeing that slide. I forget what the entry-level price is now, but it's somewhere like down around $400, $450,
mm-hmm.
right? And it goes up every $50, I think. And this is the strategy they have with the iPods. Remember, the, you know, I remember talking to Tony Fadell about this, about the, you know, when they fleshed out the iPod line, they wanted an iPod at every $50 increment. So you could, you know, and I think it was selling at $99 or $100, you know, for the iPod Shuffle. But you could buy an iPod at $100, $150, $200, $250, $300, $350, you know, and I can't remember what the top of the line was. And they found that was, you know, that's super important for consumer electronics, having, hitting those price points. And, you know, they clearly seem to be doing that pretty well, successfully here with the iPhone.
It does suck for resale value, because now every time Apple releases a new phone, they drop the price on the previous model, and so your resale price plummets too.
Because you're competing with, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, which kind of sucks. By the way, don't think I'm going to let you get away with that little subtle name drop. Oh, I was having brunch with Tim Cook and Tony Fadell, and it was right before our racquetball tournament, and he mentioned that the pricing structure.
Yeah,
yeah, I heard that. Here you go, sir. You dropped this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. A name. I apologize for that.
That's okay. When you're as famous as you are, it's hard not to drop those names around. You know, it's like you're going out in a day trip in the Jaguar with Johnny. It's like, it's hard not to just drop that and let everyone know. So the iPhone 11, let's talk about the Apple Watch Series 5, which I was extremely titillated by. The new always-on display. They completely redid the display to allow this technology. I did not see this coming. Lewis, you and I talked about this last week. We didn't even know what was going to happen with Apple Watch. There was zero leaks whatsoever. This was the only piece of hardware, the only thing that was there that we didn't know absolutely everything about.
Yeah, it was a stunner. I was actually convinced there wasn't going to be a Series 5 this year. But here you go. Boom. It's very tempting.
Yeah, and it's a big upgrade. Very, yeah, they definitely kept the secrets on that.
They brought ceramic back for $1,300. I'm actually tempted to get the ceramic.
Are you
kidding?
It's
a beautiful.
Hey, man.
I'm tempted. I'm probably not going to do it, but I love that ceramic look, and it's beautiful. It's all whited out. I really like that look, but I'll probably just go with the aluminum model, because I upgrade every year. It doesn't make sense to me to spend a bunch of money on something you're going to upgrade 1 year later anyway, which is why I think the expensive Apple Watch editions failed, because it's like, dude, it's outdated in a year. You want me to spend how much on a watch? So definitely, you get the always-on display, which I think that alone is probably going to be enough to get me to upgrade, because you guys, you know how much I hate the Apple Watch wrist flip, where you're kind of like, hey, what time is it? Oh, my watch didn't come on. Let me touch it. It's like, to have that screen on, always on, is a big deal. This year's model, the Series 5, gets 32 gigabytes of storage instead of 16, so you can finally load up all those movies and watch movies on your watch, those movies that you've always wanted to watch on your Apple Watch. You can now choose your case and band separately. This was a great move. One of the things I hated that Apple did was that you had to buy an Apple Watch with their preset straps. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. You can tell them exactly which case you want, exactly which band you want, and get the exact strap that you are looking for.
Were you impressed by that? Do you think that's a big deal?
It's not a big deal, but it's certainly nice.
They're saying there's like 1,000 combinations.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of combinations. That's a lot of combos.
Yeah, right. A lot of
that's a whole lot of combos for a brother like yourself. Okay, anyway. New Meridian watch face, which I'm not going to try to describe because you all fall asleep. And then the other inclusion is a compass, which indicates, well, as you would imagine, the direction that you're facing. And it will show you true north. It also displays latitude, longitude, and elevation. So actually pretty handy.
Pretty cool, Graham, our watch expert, was going bonkers about it. He thought it was amazing. Great that they included
the compass. Yeah. The compass feature.
So much better for mapping and wayfinding, stuff like that. Not just for Boy Scouts.
I guess also when you're looking at a map on your watch, it will show you what direction you're facing now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's super handy.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, we also got Apple Arcade, which I'm not going to go on very long about, but I will say they led with Frogger. That pretty much says it all.
Yeah. That was a bit sad, wasn't it? That was a bit of a head scratcher, wasn't it?
Yeah. Cue up the sad trombone. I wish I should have loaded that sound effect before we started. It was really underwhelming. I was excited about Apple Arcade. We thought we might be getting a turbocharged Apple TV. Everything just kind of went flush down the toilet. I was like, okay, you just showed us a bunch of mobile games. These games look very mobile-ish. I was hoping they were going to come out with some big vision. It was going to be more like Google Stadia, where they're streaming gaming contents via their servers and adapting them to the device that you're playing on. But no, it's just some mobile games, and Apple's going to curate mobile games, and you can...
There's a couple of good things about it. $5, it's family sharing, so 6 people can use it. That's always awesome. There's no upsell. There's no in-game purchases. What's it called? Pay to play.
In-app purchases,
yeah. No, in-app purchases. That I think is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think it's a bad service. I just thought it was going to be more than it is.
Yeah.
And it's funny how Apple TV Plus and Apple Arcade pretty much, my enthusiasm pretty much transferred from one to the other. My feeling about each kind of flipped, I guess you could say.
I'm going to check it out, even though I don't play much games, really. But I think...
Well, for $5 a month, how could you say no?
Yeah, right.
And families. I mean, it's going to be a slam dunk for families, right? I mean, just, here's all the games. I mean, I guess the way that it won't work is if kids are like, oh, these are not hip and cool games. Kids don't want to play them.
I mean, Frogger, out of all the games you could have come out of the gate with, they were talking about how these were going to be curated, big games. It's Frogger.
It's not just Frogger. It's Frogger in Toyland.
Okay. And I will say, actually, it looked pretty good. I was like, well, I've never really been a huge fan of Frogger, but it's such an odd franchise to lead with. It just makes me think, well, you don't have anything more exciting than this to lead with. If you're leading with Frogger, this is what you got.
Maybe they thought that, it's a game they that people know, right? So
maybe they just needed the brand recognition. Yeah. Because when they first touted Apple Arcade, it was like a more artful, artsy experience. They're like, we have all these amazing curated titles, and it looked like cool stuff that you wouldn't see elsewhere. And these are all exclusive to Apple Arcade, but Frogger is available elsewhere, not in the same form. But the game is available all sorts of places and has been for 40 years. So, But not in Toyland. I really like frogs, but only if they're playing with toys. And Konami was like, we got you. So there you go. What else do you have to say, Leonardo? I'm getting ready to move.
I was just going to rant about Frogger, but I always hated that game because I could never get the frog more than about three steps out before I got run over.
Well, this time you'll make it 3 or 4 steps before you're squashed by a giant, lovable teddy bear. let's just run through this list of everything missing, and then we'll wrap up with, there's definitely going to be an October event, okay? We got, this was a major bummer for me, no two-way wireless charging on the iPhone Pro. All the rumors got it wrong. That was one feature that I was really looking forward to, charging my watch on the back of my iPhone Pro. Not going to happen, at least not this year. No sleep tracking on the Apple Watch. Poof, gone. What happened to it? We'll never know. No supercharged Apple TV Plus, but I think we might see that in a future event. Stay tuned for that. No Apple Tag Tracker. Also, I think that might be right around the corner. And no one more thing, although... didn't it look like Tim Cook really wanted to say it?
Yeah.
It looked like he was about to say it, and maybe they had something in his ear, and they're like, it's not ready to go. It's not ready to go. We can't announce it. Which actually wouldn't even surprise me, because we've had stories before about how close to the wire things have been under works, like right up until they're getting ready to announce it on stage, and it was barely working, and maybe it just didn't happen, so he couldn't do it. I don't know.
I was shocked. Could be that. Absolutely.
Yeah, pulling out Deirdre O'Brien, the head of HR, at the end was kind of a little bit of a weird.
Yeah, I really needed that sad trumpet sound effect. I could have had it twice. Yeah, right. I mean, you bring her out for the Apple Watch announcement. That was a big loud whoopee cushion for sure. Okay. And let's talk about this October event, because I feel we're running out of steam. I feel it. It's sputtering to a halt here.
111 degrees so, in my amazing
is it,
home
you guys
office.
Both sweating? Okay. Landers over there squirting. And actually, Lewis, you're the squirter. You're the one squirting. So, October event. This is absolutely happening. Do either of you guys disagree? Do you think we're not going to get an October event full of different hardware? Lander, what do you think? What do you think?
The tea leaves are definitely reading that way. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of pro mm-hmm. stuff, right? You know, it's going to be pro this, pro that. MacBook Pros, HomePod Pros, iPad Pros.
Oh, HomePod Pro. I hope you're right about that.
Apple Tags, yeah.
Yeah. So let me just run through this list, and then we'll send you all on your way. That big, beautiful 16-inch MacBook Pro, I think we're for sure getting it in October. That's going to be the big hardware at the announcement, okay? At the event, I should say. Updated HomePods. This is a possibility. I don't think it's going to be HomePods Pro, although that would send me into sweet ecstasy and put the nips at full mast. I think it's going to be a stripped-down version of HomePod, like we've talked about before, where they remove some of the tweeters, make it sound a little bit worse, and then charge a smaller price for it. Make it more accessible, I should say. Apple Tags, probably going to make a debut at that event. New iPad Pros almost certainly going to be announced at an October event. Possibly a new supercharged Apple TV can make a debut. Apple TV is real old now. But if they don't need to update it for playing games for Apple Arcade, then really there's not any reason to update it. You're still just streaming 4K content, so why update the Apple TV? They might just leave it as it is. The Mac Pro has been teased for a fall launch. Well, you're running out of fall here, TC. You better make your way towards the Mac Pro release room and tell them to get that thing ready, because October is going to be about your last chance before this year is over. Probably even more. I have a hunch at the end of the event, you're going to hear like some loud screeching sound, and then, hey, y'all, Tim Cook's going to come peeling out onto the stage in the brand new Apple car. What do you think about that, Leander Caney?
No, I don't think we're going to see that at all.
Come on!
No, there's no way. There's no way. And the plus, he's not going to save it for, like, you know, that one more thing at the end of the... but, you know, it's not ready. It's nowhere near ready for production, I don't think, is it?
Oh, man.
One day he's going to do that, but I don't think it's going to be this October.
As long as he does it someday, as long as that's how the debut goes, is Tim Cook peeling out off stage and then just coming in like a wild man, smoke everywhere, comes peeling out on stage in the Apple car.
Pulling donuts around the stage.
Hey, yo! Oh, he's just going around and around.
Yeah, it would be a sight to see, wouldn't it?
Man, oh yeah, I can just see the Verge guys now. They're all weeping and holding each other. Their Saks premium underpants are absolutely, absolutely peed in. It's going to be a glorious reveal.
That's a little ripe.
Well, you know, Eli Patel is only wearing those most premium underpants. Okay, this is getting weird. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week, if there's even anyone left here. Hey, come say hi to us on Twitter if you want to just come say hi or talk to us about any of the hardware we talked about in today's show. We're all on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Leander is at L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
I gotta run. I'll be right back. I'll be back in about 10 minutes, okay?
10 minutes? We're not gonna be here 10 minutes.
See ya.
I'll drop in the minute.
Oh my god. Oh jeez. All right.
Wow.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hey.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
You just can't make me believe this.
I know, this is very unusual. The fact that Leander isn't able to hear us and isn't able to make his technology work. This is the first time. This is a first time ordeal.
What the hell? Hold on a second. I just thought of something.
I bet you this is going to work.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, for f- sake. I had the wrong headphones on.
Oh, my God. That is a classic. Classic.